We're back here on the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner, all with you. You can't be serious. We'll end the show as always. I've got a bandwagon that I'm trying to start that's getting bigger and bigger. But before we get to that, on a somewhat related note, we all remember now the rant that Travis Kelce had after the Kansas City Chiefs lost to the Steelers in the divisional round of the playoffs. He was not thrilled with the holding call on his teammate Eric Fisher. Wound up really dissing the official that made that call.
It's ignorance. The ref number 51 shouldn't even be able to wear a zebra jersey ever again. He shouldn't even be able to work Foot Locker.
Okay, guys.
You guys have a good day.
Thank you.
By the way, underrated part of that whole rant is the PR guy coming in. Okay, guys. But yes, Travis Kelce said that official should not work at a Foot Locker. Of course, a reference to the fact that they have to wear those referee outfits. Well, ta-da, not only is that guy going past working at Foot Locker, staying with his job in the NFL as a referee, but
he is going to be not just an official, but the referee for Super Bowl 51.
Travis Kelce, my friend.
Carl Sheffers is his name.
I am a big Travis Kelce fan. Despite the fact that all of this was very stupid, he is still much more a net positive than anything else for the Chiefs. He had over 1,000 receiving yards this year. He is a very talented tight end. He is worth the trouble. But he did take things too far. This definitely needs to be a lesson to him. And this is where he's going to have to grow up, because not only was what he did in the game just completely unacceptable with the penalty that he got after he was frustrated about dropping a pass, then compounded it with the fine that I'm sure he's going to get for that giant rant that he went on about the officials. But what's happened here is, for the first time in a while for Travis Kelce, I think since he got things really rolling with his NFL career after being injured that first year, it's been a long time since he has had to take a lot of losses in a row, a lot of personal L's. And he has done that here with this. One, he drops the pass. Two, he gets the bad penalty. Three, he gets yelled at by Justin Houston and Andy Reid on the sideline. So we're up to like 0-3. Then the Chiefs lose the game, 0-4. He goes on that rant that winds up getting him embarrassed a little bit, 0-5. And then after calling out the ref turns into the lead referee for the Super Bowl. It's a lot of L's for Travis Kelce to absorb here, and a lot of time to be out of the spotlight to try and deal with it. You know, this is a guy who had his own reality show, a guy who was trying to become a superstar, thinking that he is becoming a superstar, had a great season statistically. And he is obviously very brash as well, very confident. I don't think he's used to dealing with this much adversity piling up on him in a hurry.
Feels like months since we've had a Catching Kelce update. Who won the thing?
Well, Maya won it, and I actually saw Maya tweeting, like, making fun of Travis Kelce and congratulating the Steelers in the aftermath of the game. So I'd imagine she got kicked to the curb. I don't really know what happened there, but Travis Kelce is no longer with, apparently, the winner of Catching Kelce. So I don't know if you want to count. I don't know enough about that situation to know if that counts as an L or not.
I'd like to think that the NFL was on the fence on who to make the lead referee for the Super Bowl, and then they saw what Travis Kelce said, and that was their deciding factor. They said, all right, we're going to throw him a bone now.
Well, I seriously doubt that's the case, but
Roger Goodell. Never
well,
doubt.
All right.
You know that Roger Goodell would take a lot of personal pride in doing something like that.
I do suppose there are those that would be with you on that. Now, speaking of the Chiefs, my cause that I'm trying to take up here, and this was the first thing I tweeted right after the Chiefs lost, Romo to KC. I am on board with this Tony Romo thing, even though I only half do it because I know it makes so many of you cringe. But I do think there's legitimacy to it, as we discussed yesterday. You've got a team that's pretty well set everywhere outside of quarterback and running back, but, you know, draft a running back, come up with something a little better at running back, someone to pair with Spencer Ware, maybe Jamal Charles winds up being healthy enough, you sign him next year, plug Tony Romo in there. If he can stay healthy at all, he's ready to go. Now, that's the big issue, but you got Nick Foles. It's a backup. Bring Nick Foles back as the backup. You got a pretty good backup plan there to Tony Romo. That would be taking a chance, trying to get over the hump. That's my basic pitch here for Romo to KC. And I legitimately thought that, you know, while I had seen some people talk about it, I thought I was going to be more or less on my own in that charge. Trey Wingo, the host of NFL Live on ESPN. This is him today. Just throwing it out there, but the idea of Tony Romo playing in Kansas City next year is really interesting, with really in all caps. Pro Football Focus did an article today talking about the impact Tony Romo could have in Kansas City. Jason McIntyre, who writes for The Big Lead, that was the first thing I saw today about it, wrote, "The worst QB on any Super Bowl contender, Alex Smith. Why the Chiefs are suddenly in the Tony Romo sweepstakes." Put together a whole piece about that. This is a guy that does work for FS1 on TV, writes for The Big Lead, Fox Sports Radio. It's another national pundit. I'm telling you, people are jumping on the Tony Romo to Kansas City bandwagon, whether you like it or not.
Romo is hashtag not my quarterback. Not my quarterback.
If I could guarantee that Romo stays healthy for at least two-thirds of the season right now, would you take him as your quarterback over Alex
Smith? Two-thirds? That's it? That's all I'm getting?
And he's healthy for the playoffs after two-thirds of the season.
If he's healthy for the playoffs, I guess, yeah. Yeah, I'd probably take that. But, man, I would want a full season. I would like a full season. If you told me right now that he will be healthy for all 16 regular season games and the playoffs, yeah, I would sign up for that. But I wouldn't have a lot of faith that that would happen.
So that's your main holdup. Your main concern is just health. Is there anything beyond health? Like, what else is holding you back?
Well, it's the fact that after one or two seasons of that, then your cupboard is pretty empty on quarterbacks unless you're going to go out and draft one. That's the other problem. Because with Alex Smith, yeah, it's Alex Smith, but at least you're locked down knowing that you will have a serviceable quarterback for the next 4 or 5 years.
Alex Smith's 33, and he seemed to decline. Romo, he was worse statistically this year than he was last year. I'm not comparing him to Romo. I'm just saying your statement was you'd be set at quarterback for 4 to 5 years. I think Alex Smith is starting to diminish here, as you know, rightfully so. The guy's about to hit his mid-30s. One of his biggest strengths has always been his mobility, ability to run. He didn't run near as much as he did this year. That was the biggest statistical difference in 2015 to 2016, Alex Smith. That's just going to keep going down. I mean, I got news for you. He ain't getting any younger either.
Well,
so I would disagree with the fact that you have 4 or 5 years of what we think of right now as Alex Smith. I think you maybe got another two, but the real conversation now is about drafting a guy anyway. They're going to have to get somebody else in there. I still think that could be the plan, even if you get Tony Romo. You can still draft somebody at some point.
I think that Alex Smith, his numbers were hurt this year by Jeremy Maclin having to deal with several injuries. I think that Smith would be better off working with a Tyreek Hill that's in his second year. You know, you can certainly add more things to the playbook with him. Still got Chris Conley who can certainly develop and be a decent receiver, and you have Travis Kelce. So,
but like we've said, that I could copy and paste that 3 years ago, 2 years ago, last year. It came together better than ever this year. 12-4, division champs, first round bye, home game. Still didn't work, and Alex Smith wasn't good, and the offense wasn't good. There's a common denominator there. That's all okay. I'm saying. You Can't Be Serious is next.